Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are extremely fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji will be enlightening us by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, and Verse 34. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Darvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for your valuable time and association this morning. And without further ado, I would like to request you to please take over from here. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वपत्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामय्यं तदाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातां सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणादलिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 18 वर्स नंबर 34 एंड 35 विल डिस्कस उत्तरेषु च कुरुषु भगवान यज्ञ पुरुषः कृत वराह रूप आस्ते तम तु देवी हैषा भूहु सह कुरुबिर अस्खलित भक्ति योगेन उपदावति इमाम च परमाम उपनिषदा आवर्तयति वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन उत्तरेषु ऑन द नॉर्दर्न साइड च आल्सो कुरुषु इन द ट्रैक्ट ऑफ लैंड नोन एज कुरु Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajna Purusha, who accepts all results of sacrifices, Krita Varaha Rupa, having accepted the form of a boar, Aste exists eternally. Tam, him, tu, certainly, Devi, goddess, her, certainly, Yesha, this, Bhuhu, planet earth, Saha, along with, Kurubihi, the inhabitants of the land known as Kuru, Askalita, unfailing, Bhakti Yogena, by devotional service, Upadavati, worship, Imam, this, Cha, also, Paramam Upanishadam, the Supreme Upanishad, the process by which one can approach the Lord, Avartayati, chants again and again for the purpose of practice. Translation, Shukdev Goswami said, Dear King, the Supreme Lord in His boar incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambudvipa. There, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuruvarsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship Him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishadic mantra. Next verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattva Lingaya Yajna Kratave Mahadvara Avayavaya Mahapurushaya Namaha Karma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaste. Om, O Lord, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Bhagavate and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mantra Linga Tattvaya, who is understood in truth by different mantras, Yajna in the form of animal sacrifices, Kratave and animal sacrifice, Mahadvara, great sacrifices, Avayavaya, whose limbs and bodily parts, Mahapurushaya, unto the Supreme Person, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Karma Shuklaya, who purifies the fruitive activities of the living entities, Triyugaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full with the six opulences, and appears in three yugas, remaining concealed in the fourth yuga, Namaha, my respectful obeisances, Te, unto you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you as a gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are Yajna and you are the Kratu. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body. And you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Triyuga because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation and because you always fully possess the three pairs of the opulences. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is incarnation for this age of Kali as confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Upanishads. The summary of His appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows. Kaliyuge Lilavatara Nakare Bhagavan Atayeva Triyugakari Kahitara Nama. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not appear as a Lilavatara, an incarnation to display pastimes. Therefore, He is known as Triyuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, He is called a concealed incarnation, Channavatara. Hare Krishna. So, we are reading this beautiful verse. The prayers offered by the, from the prayers offered by the residents of Jambudvipa. So, in the Jambudvipa, there are nine tracts of land. So one of the tract of land is called as the Uttarakuruvarsha. So in the Uttarakuruvarsha, the presiding deity of the Uttarakuruvarsha is Varahadev. So that Varahadev is worshipped by Bhumi Devi along with the residents of Uttarakuruvarsha. So we are beginning this section of the prayers offered by Bhumi Devi to Varahadev. So I will go through the verses. Maybe if you can keep the possible, you can skip that focus on the verse so that when I explain the meaning, you can clear. Uttareshu cha kurushu. That means in the tract of land known as Uttara Kuru Varsha, Bhagavan Yajna Purushaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Yajna Purusha, who is the form of the sacrifices, or who accepts all the sacrificial offerings, or who is the person who is worshipped by the Yajnas, Yajna Purushaha, Krita Varaha Rupa. So he actually, having accepted the form of Varaha Rupa, Aste, he is living there eternally. Tamtu Devi Haishabhu. So in that particular place, Bhu here refers to the Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth. So Mother Earth, Saha Kurubir. Saha Kurubir means, Kurubir refers to the residents of the Uttara Kuru Varsha. So in that place, Mother Earth, and along with the other inhabitants of Uttara Kuru Varsha, what do they do? Askalita Bhakti Yogena Upadavati. Upadavati means aradayati, worship. And Askalita Bhakti Yogena is the, they worship by the process of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yogena. And what is the nature of that Bhakti Yoga? Askalita. Askalita is the visheshana or the adjective to describe the Bhakti Yoga. So they worship the Bhumi Devi along with the residents of Uttara Kuru Varsha. They worship the Varahadev by the process of unfailing devotional service. Askalita. Bhakti will never fail to give a result. With unfailing devotional service. Askalita Bhakti Egena Upadavati. And then what else they do? Imam cha Paramam Upanishadam Avartayati. So Avartayati means Japati. Japati, that means they chanting repeatedly. They chant the following prayer, Paramam Upanishadam, or they chant and repeatedly chant the Imam Paramam Upanishadam. Imam means the following Paramam Upanishadam, the Upanishadic mantra. So Imam cha Paramam Upanishadam Avartayati. The next verse, Om Namo. What is that particular mantra by which they worship the Varahadeva form? That is the next verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Titva Tattva Lingaya. Om Namo Bhagavate. I offer my respectful obeisance to the Supreme Lord, who is Mantra Tattva Lingaya, who is known in truth by the mantras. Who is known in truth by the mantras. Or it means that who is the personification of the mantras. There is a verse in the first canto, 5th chapter, 38th verse. Iti murti abhidanena mantra murtim amurtikam. Yajate yajna purusham sa samyak darshana kuman. So mantra murtim amurtikam. So the Narada Muni worshipped the deity by using this mantra. So the mantra murti amurtikam, mantra murti, the word comes. Mantra murti means the Lord whose body is the mantra. Or by chanting the mantra, the Lord appears. The Lord who is revealed by chanting the mantra. So the same here, Mantra Tattva Lingaya, the Lord who is known in truth by the mantras. When we chant the mantras, the holy names of the Lord is revealed, the Lord is known in truth. Yajna Kratave. So Yajna Kratave, Yajna is that sacrifice which is performed without animal killing. And Kratu is that sacrifice which involves animal killing. So Yajna Kratave means you are the form, the Lord is the form of the sacrifice with animal killing and without animal killing. Of course, the sacrifices with animal killing, those animals are, they get a superior body when they are actually sacrificed. It is not, they get elevated. So, Yajna Kratave, the Lord who is the form of sacrifice with animal killing and without animal killing. Maha Advaraya Avayavaya. Maha Advara Avayavaya. Maha Advaraya Avayavaya. So, Advara is another name for sacrifice. Avayava means the part. Or the Lord is the limbs of the great sacrifices. All the there are so many limbs of the sacrifices, like sacrificial ingredients, the particular sacrificial arena, the sacrificial priest, and the instruments used in the sacrifice, the mantras used in the sacrifice. All these are different limbs of the sacrifice. So, Maha Advaraya Avayavaya, that means all these limbs of the sacrifice are also the Supreme Lord. Maha Advaraya Avayavaya. Maha Purushaya, and the Lord who is the great Purusha. Namaha Karma Shuklaya, Karma Shuklaya. He has a Karma Shuklaya means, Shuklaya here refers to the Shuddha Sattva. So the Lord has a form of Shuddha Sattva, even in his actions. Means like his form is made of Shuddha Sattva, and his actions are also in Shuddha Sattva. They are beyond the three modes of nature. And Triyugaya. Triyugaya. So, basically, all these are describing that Lord. I offer respects to that Supreme Lord who is known in truth by the mantras, who is the form of sacrifice with and without animals, who is the limbs of the great sacrifices, who is the great Purusha, and who has the form of Shuddha Sattva, and whose actions are in Shuddha Sattva, and Triyugaya. So Triyugaya here refers to who appears in three yugas visibly. So in Kali Yuga also Lord appears, but because in Kali Yuga he appears in a covered form, as in the form of a devotee, he is called as Triyugaya. Or Triyugaya means that the form who has three pairs of qualities refers to the six opulences: Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasashriyaha, Jnana Vairagyayosya. Six opulences are there. The Lord who appears in three yugas visibly, the Lord who has three pairs of qualities or six opulences. In Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in covered form, therefore he is called as Triyugaya. In the Kali Yuga, the Lord does not appear as a Leela Avatara, therefore he is called as Triyugaya. And another reason given by Sridhar Swami why the Lord is called as Triyugaya, Sridhar Swami says that here the Varaha Dev is the personification of the sacrifice. And he is called as Triyugaya because the sacrifices started in the beginning of Treta Yuga. The Vedic fire sacrifices were not present in the Satya Yuga. What is the Pramana for this? There is a verse in the 9th canto, in the Pururava section. It is explained that Puru Ravasa Yevasi Trayi Treta Mukhen Rupa Agnina Prajaya Raja Lokam Gandharva Meyivan. So at the beginning of Treta Yuga, King Puru Rava inaugurated the Karma Kanda sacrifice. So Puru Rava inaugurated the Karma Kanda Vedic fire sacrifice at the beginning of Treta Yuga. This verse mentions the 9th canto. That means that the Karma Kanda fire sacrifices were not present in the Satya Yuga. So therefore, the Lord Varahadeva is called as Triyugaya, because he is the form of the sacrifices, and because the sacrifices were not present in Satya Yuga, therefore he is called as Triyugaya. This is another reason why he is called as Kriya Yuga. So, interestingly, we see Prabhupada writes in the purport, in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not appear as a Leela Avatara. He quotes the Pramana from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Therefore, he is known as Kriya Yuga. But the interesting point is, the Leelas performed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are much more than, in one sense, the other incarnations. If you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, Varaha Dev's Leela comes in third canto, chapter 13 and 17, 18, 19. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is in 9 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But technically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not a Leela Avatara. So therefore, the Lord is called as Kriya Yuga, because he does not appear as a Leela Avatara in Kali Yuga. So this is about the verse. So I'll discuss something related to the verse. So here we see the Varaha Dev is called as the form of sacrifice, personification of sacrifice. In the fourth canto, in the Daksha Yajna, when the Lord appeared in the sacrifice of Daksha, the Daksha Yajna, the Lord Shiva's followers had actually destroyed the sacrifice and they had killed many people, and the whole sacrifice had turned into a crematorium. A sacrifice is supposed to be a highly pure, auspicious place, but the Lord Shiva's followers had spoiled everything. It became like a crematorium. It became inauspicious place. But just like Lord Vishnu appeared in that sacrificial arena of Daksha, which had turned into a crematorium, similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the dark age of Kali. Kali Yuga is also like a dark age, but Lord appeared as a Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a beautiful comparison Prabhupada gives. So there, when the Lord appeared, Vishnu appeared, so different people in the Daksha sacrifice, they actually glorified, they offered praise to the Lord. The Brahmana say that, Tvam Kratustvam Havistvam Hutasha Swayam Tvam Hi Mantra Samit Darva Patranicha Tvam Sadasya Ritvijo Dampati Devata Agnihotram Svada Soma Ajyam Pashuhu. You are the sacrifice, the oblation, the fire, the mantras, the vessels, fuel and the kushagras. You are the assembly, the priest, the sponsor and his wife. You are the devatas, the offering to Agni, the mantra Svada, the Soma, the Ghee, and the sacrificial animal. So, here the Brahmanas are glorifying the Lord, how the Lord is the personification of sacrifice. Krishna says, Aham Kraturaham Yajna Svadaham Aham Aushadam Mantroham Aham Evajyam Aham Agni Raham Putam. The same thing what is described in this Bhagavatam verse, Krishna also says that I am the ritual, I am the sacrifice, I am the offering to the ancestors, I am the healing herb. And then the Brahmanas glorify the Lord as Tvam Puragam Rasaya Mahasukaro Damshraya Padmini Varanendru Yata. In the past, in the form of a great boar, Stuyamano, while being praised by the sages, you nadal Leelaya Yogibir, you very easily lifted up the earth from the water with your tusk. Like an elephant lifts the lotus while you roared. So here the Lord is called as Trayigatra. That means the Lord is the personification of the Vedas. Or he is the form of the sacrifice. Trayigatra, personification of the Vedas. So therefore, if a person worships the personal form of the Lord, it is equivalent to studying the four Vedas 24 hours a day. Simply by decorating the deities of the Lord, one very minutely studies the injunctions of the Vedas. In that way, even a Kanishtha Adhikari who is in touch with the deity worship, he is understood to be in direct touch with the purport of the Vedic knowledge. And one who studies the Vedas with his intelligence, he is also considered to be worshipping the Lord. Adyeshyate cha ya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo jnana yajnena tenaham ishtasyam iti me matihi. Krishna says that one who studies this conversation with one's intelligence, he is actually worshipping me. In the Bhagavad Gita at the end he says. So therefore, and also in the third canto, when the Varahadeva appeared, the sages, the residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, they offered very beautiful prayers glorifying how the different limbs of Varahadeva is the they represent the different different aspects of the Vedic fire sacrifice. It is described in very great detail. They say that, O unconquerable Lord, Jitam Jitam Te, Jita Yajna Bhavana, Trayim Tanum Swam Paridunyate Namaha. O source of sacrifice, we offer respects to the boar who shakes his body made of the three Vedas, in whose hair pores the oceans merge. We offer respects to you who have the form of a boar, the source of the universe. Rupam tavaitan nanu dushkrutatmana. The sinful people cannot see your form as a sacrifice. Durdarshanam deva yat advaratmakam. From your skin arose the verses advaratmakam. Chandamsi yasya tvachi bargi romash. From your hair holes arose the kusha grass. Ajyam grishitam angrishu chatur hotram. From your eyes arose the ghee, which is used in the sacrifice. And from your feet arose the four hotras. The four hotras are the refers to the four actions of the four types of priests. There are four types of priests who represent the four Vedas. Those priests are Hotra, Advaryu, Udgata and Brahma. So the actions performed by them, they are called as Hotras. So from your feet arose the four Hotras. So Prabhupada, and then they explained that Srit Tunda Asit Sruva Isha Nasayur. The sacrificial ladle called Sruk arose from the tip of your mouth. And then the ghee ladle called Sruva arose from your nostrils. There are different types of vessels used for the storing the ingredients. The Ida vessel arose from your stomach. And the Soma container, the Soma Rasa is used in the sacrifice. The container for Soma Rasa arose from your ears. Prashrita vessel appeared from your mouth. And the ladle for offering that Soma Rasa into the fire, that arose from your mouth. And the chewing of the offering is our fire sacrifice. And then before the sacrifice, the Yajaman is supposed to undergo a Diksha. Diksha for performing the sacrifice. And that Diksha arose from the Lord's many appearances. And then there are like different aspects of the sacrifice, which we don't know the technical meaning of that. So, but the point is that all the different aspects of the sacrifice represent the different limbs of the Varahadeva. Therefore, in summary, those residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, they glorify Varahadevas. Namo Namaste Akila Mantra Devata Dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane vairagya bhaktyat majayanu bhavita jnanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. We offer respects to you who are all materials for sacrifice, the devatas and the mantras, who are the whole sacrifice and are the form of all things related to sacrifice. And we offer repeated respects to you, Namo Namaha, the Guru of knowledge, who should give realized knowledge by conquering our minds through bhakti endowed with material detachment. So, in this way, they are glorifying the Lord. So, here Prabhupada writes about the certain class of people called as Vedavada Rathas. So they are the so-called strict followers of the Vedas. They follow the Vedic fire sacrifices, but they do not believe in the incarnation of the Lord. What to speak of actually believing in the Lord's incarnation as the Varahadev. Varahadev is the boar incarnation. Usually nobody likes to go near the boar because boar lives in filthy places. But here Varahadev's form is considered to be the personification of the Vedic sacrifice, personification of the Vedas. So that shows how his form is transcendental and his actions are transcendental. So this Vedavada Rathas, they do not surrender to the person Krishna. Namam Dushkrutino Muda Prapadyante Naradama Mayaya Apakrita Jnana Asuram Bhavamashrita. Four types of people do not surrender to Krishna. One type of people is Mayaya Apakrita Jnana. So their knowledge is stolen by the illusion. So it refers to people who have Vedic knowledge but who don't surrender to the person Krishna, person Varahadev, because their knowledge is stolen by the illusion. So they say worship of the different personal forms of the Lord, they consider that to be anthropomorphism. That means it's like worshipping something like a human being or a living entity as God, like projecting the human conception on God. So these people are considered as dushkritinaha. Because they don't have the Sukriti, they are not worshipping the Supreme Lord. So these strict followers of the Lord, who condemn the eternal forms of the Lord, may know from Bhagavatam that such incarnations are personified forms of the Vedas. And that is what we find in the description. So we see sometimes, so these Vedavada Rathas, they consider the Karmakanti section of the Vedas to be all in all. They say that there is nothing beyond this. Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti Avipashchitaha Vedavada Ratapartha Nandya Tastiti Vadinaha. So the Karmakanda section, they promote a person to heaven. But that is only an intermediate result. But they consider that intermediate result mentioned in the Vedas to be the ultimate goal of the Vedas. So that is the mistake of the Vedavada Rathas. So they want to avoid the service to the personal form of the Lord by giving the Karmakanda Vedas as the Pramana. And sometimes, like Prabhupada says in the third chapter Gita, Arjuna used Krishna consciousness as an excuse for avoiding his Kshatriya duty, Varnashram duty. Sometimes the devotees who may be worshipping the personal form of Krishna, they may give Krishna consciousness as an excuse for avoiding one Kshatriya, one Varnashram duties. Here the Vedavada Rathas, they quote the Vedic literatures as the Pramana. And they say the Karmakanda section of the Vedas is the all in all. And they avoid worshipping the personal form of the Lord. So here, When we talk about karmakanda sacrifice, we have to talk about karmakanda sacrifice and karmakanda mindset. So the karmakanda psychology. So karmakanda sacrifice, people perform karmakanda sacrifices generally in order to fulfill their fruitive desires, fulfill their material desires. So this fruitive mentality or a karmakanda mindset can be present even in the path of bhakti. So sometimes we may condemn the karmakanda sacrifices, but we may not realize that while performing bhakti, we may have the we may not realize that we may have a karmakanda system or a karmakanda mindset. Like I was just discussing that there are, yesterday only I was discussing with somebody about this point. So he was saying that he was in one place in India. He was performing certain ceremony for his guru. So there was a harikatha was going on, and then on another place there was a fire sacrifice was going on. So fire sacrifice was going on, chanting of the mantras was going on, and the harikatha was going on. So the speaker who spoke in the class, so this fire sacrifice which is going on there, it is useless. It is useless, and like this devotee was taken aback. He said, when the fire sacrifice was going on, he was performing a like Shraddha ceremony for his spiritual master, the fire sacrifice. And the speaker was saying that this fire sacrifice is useless. So, and he was quoting Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishera Banda, Narottam Das Thakur's prayer, bhajan, where he says Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda are parts of poison. So this devotee was little, like it was shocking, it was hurt right in the mic. The fire sacrifice was going on, it is useless. Then he was just conversing with me. So I was just discussing that when we talk about, when Narottam Das Thakur says Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Kevala Vishera Banda, the Shastra sometimes condemn Karma Kanda, they are basically speaking from the point of view of transcendence. From the platform of transcendence, pure devotion to Krishna. So fruitive activity is something very insignificant. It is something inferior. And then I said that we may sometimes condemn the karmakanda activity, but we may not realize that we may have the karmakanda mindset or a fruitive mindset even while say practicing bhakti or teaching bhakti. So I was just discussing, giving us one example. I said that I was attending different online courses related to Sanskrit and different aspects last few years. There are some places, like they have almost 200, 250 courses. And I said that they were taught by expert people, and they didn't charge. They don't charge a single rupee. They teach the course very professionally by the experts in that field. The courses are all related to basically the auxiliary Vedic literatures, which will help one to understand, say, the Purana, Sitigasa. They are related to, say, Sanskrit Vyakarana, or sometimes some courses are related to some particular scripture. Like, for example, Nyaya, or some particular part of Ramayana, some particular part of Vedanta Desika's book, like that. So I said all these courses are taught by the experts, and they don't charge a single rupee. And at the end of the course, they say that whatever you pay, whatever you wish, you can pay as you like. And they have the system like that. So I said that some of these people, they may not know the ultimate. Maybe the people who are conducting these courses, they may not have the ultimate goal of the Vedas to be pure bhakti, or they, some of them may be Advaita Vadis may be teaching, or they may be more into Karmakanda. But the system which they follow for teaching these courses, it does not have the Karmakanda mentality, because they just teach the course with dutifully, with full effort, and then they said at the end you may pay as you like. And then I told, but sometimes we have, when we are teaching the bhakti courses, the first step we tell for joining the courses, you pay this much amount of money. And bhakti is the ultimate conclusion of the worship of the Supreme Lord, is the ultimate conclusion of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarveir ahameva vedyu. Although we will be giving the topmost essence of the Vedas, but the system which we follow is the first thing, you give the money and then we start teaching, then you can listen the class. So I told that we may be teaching the highest aspect of the scripture, but the system for our teaching is based on the Karmakanda. It is based on the fruitive mindset. And these people, they may not be teaching the highest aspect of the Vedas, but the system which they follow for teaching is based on Nishkama Karma Yoga. Just perform your duty of teaching, not expecting the result. And at the end, they may give whatever they want. So I told that you have to differentiate between, you not only, it's not simply criticizing the Karmakanda activity. The Vedavada Ratas concept the Karmakanda activity to be the all in all. But we also have to recognize the Karmakanda mindset, which can be present even within our systems where we teach Bhakti Yoga. So therefore, like if you see the character of Krishna, Krishna actually, he stopped the Indra Yajna in the Vrindavan, but the same Krishna, he worshipped the Devatas, considering them to be his different limbs in Dwaraka. Krishna performed so many sacrifices in Dwaraka. There is the 30th quality of Krishna mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion called as Dharmikaha. Rupa Goswami quotes as an example, Krishna performed so many sacrifices one after another that the Devatas were constantly participating in the sacrifices of Krishna. Because of that, Sachi Devi was not getting the time of her husband Indra in the Swargaloka. And she was very upset. My husband is not here only. He is all the time in Dwaraka. So she started praying for the appearance of Buddha so that the fire sacrifices stop. Of course, it's a sarcastic verse, Rupa Goswami says. But the purpose of the verse, why Rupa Goswami is mentioning this verse, is that Krishna was performing so many fire sacrifices, this thing. But when you consider the Karmakanda sacrifices to be all in all, then one considers the intermediate goal to be the ultimate goal. And so there is a, just like Varahadev appeared and he lifted the Mother Earth from the depth of the Garbhodaka ocean. Varahadev dived into the filthiest place and lifted the earth. Similarly, Prabhupada also, like Varahadev, he went to America, he went to places like Bowery, New York. From the point of view of the, say, Vedic culture, from the point of view of Kali Yuga, at that time the Kali Yuga, we can say they were like the very capital or the very capitals of Kali Yuga or most advanced cities of Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada went to the, in one sense, those places which are degraded from the point of view of the Vedic culture. He went from Vrindavan there. And just like Varahadev lifted the Mother Earth, Prabhupada lifted the people to Krishna consciousness. And by that, Srila Prabhupada actually lightened the earth, removed the burden of the earth by making them as Vaishnavas. And Varahadev, if you see the appearance of Varahadev, Varahadev appeared as a very small form from the nostril of Brahma. But within a short time, Varahadev expanded into a huge size. So Prabhupada went as a very small man, both in the size, because Prabhupada was a short man. And also, Prabhupada went in an unassuming way, just with 40 rupees in his hand, with no followers, just with a trunk of books. He started in a very small way. And just like Varahadev expanded to a huge form in a short time, Prabhupada created ISKCON, built so many temples, established so many centers within a short time. Once Prabhupada said that, if the Americans had known for what purpose I was coming to America, they would not have allowed me entry. So, in a short time, he actually established and made so many devotees. So, and the residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, they glorify. They say that, O Lord, O lifter of the earth with its mountains held by you on the tips of your tusks appears beautiful. It is like a lotus with its leaves held on the tusk of the mad elephant rising from the water. So here they are expressing the good fortune of the earth. How the earth is so fortunate being held by Varahadev. When the gopis were searching for Krishna, when Krishna disappeared from their midst, and the gopis were frantically looking for Krishna, they were asking everyone about Krishna. So the gopis, they saw the earth and they asked the earth, Kim te kritam kshiti tapo bata keshavangri sparshot savot pulakitangaru hair vibasi apyangri sambhava guru krama vikramadva aho varaha vapusha parirambanena. So the gopis said that they were asking Mother Earth, O Mother Earth, what austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Keshava's lotus feet? So when they were seeing the earth, there were they saw the actually so many like grass was there. Grass was they were able to see the grass in the earth, and they felt that the grass in the earth to be like the hair of Mother Earth. And the gopis felt that Mother Earth, out of her ecstasy of being touched by Krishna, her hairs are standing on end. Because the gopis felt that wherever Krishna must be in contact with the earth. So earth is so fortunate. Earth is having the constant association of Krishna. Because of that, the earth, the hairs of the earth are standing on end. She is in ecstasy. And therefore, they want to inquire about the good fortune, about the cause of the good fortune of earth. So, what austerity did you perform to attain the touch of Krishna's lotus feet, which has brought you such great joy that your bodily hairs are standing on end? And you are appearing very beautiful in this condition. Did you achieve this good fortune when the Lord appeared? Did you get this ecstatic symptom when the Lord appeared as Varahadev? When he embraced you as the Lord Varaha? Or did you get this ecstatic? They asked that did you get this ecstatic symptoms because of Krishna's touch of lotus feet, or did you get this ecstatic symptoms even before when Lord Vamanadev appeared and stepped on you in the form of Vamanadev? Or did you get this ecstatic symptoms even before that when the Lord appeared as Varagadev and he embraced you in the form of the boar. So in this way, the sages are glorifying how the earth is appearing beautiful in the association of Lord Varagadev. And they also say that the Varagadev is also appearing more beautiful in association with the earth. Your form of a boar personifying the Vedas appears beautiful with the earth held by your tusks, just as a huge mountain appears beautiful with a huge cloud held on its peak. In the rainy season, if you had gone to certain places where there are mountains, you will see that clouds on the top of the mountain. So that scene where the clouds on the top of the mountain, that scene appears very beautiful. So similarly, that earth held by you because of that you appear more beautiful. The Lord has the beauty of a huge cloud held on its peak. So we see that the earth increased the beauty of Varagadev. So a devotee should act in such a way that he increases the beauty of the Lord, he increases the fame of the Lord, or increases the glory of the Lord. Yashoda means one to increase the fame of Krishna. And then these residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, they said that Vidunvata Vedamayam Nijam Vakur Janas Tapasatya Nivasino Vayam Sata Shikodduta Shivambu Bindubir Vimrujya Mana Vrishamisha Pavita. When the Lord, as Varagadev, when he came out of the ocean, he actually, Varagadev shook his body. When he shook his body, the water actually sprinkled from his body, and the residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, they accepted that water. And they said that when you shake your body made of the Vedas, we, the inhabitants of Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka, have become purified by those droplets of auspicious water coming from the tips of your hairs. Normally, nobody likes to take the water actually coming from the bore. But these residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, they are highly purified people. They say that we have become purified by accepting those water. Lastly, I'll just talk. So in the Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravartipad, he talks about the fourth offense to the holy name. The fourth offense to the holy name is what? Blaspheming the revealed Vedic literatures. So why I'm speaking about this is that the Vedavada Rathas, what they do, Vedavada Rathas, they are the so-called strict followers of the Vedas. They consider the different auxiliary aspects of the Vedas to be all in all, and they don't worship the Parshan Krishna. But sometimes, and then on the other hand, there are devotees of Krishna who worship the person Krishna, who may chant the holy names of Krishna. But the devotees of Krishna may criticize the portions of the Vedas. They may blaspheme the Vedic literatures. Or they may blaspheme the devatas who are glorified in the Vedic literatures. Or they may blaspheme the inferior processes as Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda described in those Vedic literatures. On the one hand, the followers of Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda, they don't worship the person Krishna. So they are condemned with the Shastras. And here in Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravartipad talks about the fourth offense, the holy name. We can see second offense, fourth offense, they are all related. Where the devotees of the person Krishna, they may blaspheme the certain portions of the Vedic literatures, or they may blaspheme the devatas who are glorified in the Vedic literatures, or they may blaspheme the processes of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda glorified in those Vedic literatures. So this is also an aparadha. So Vishnu Chakravartipad explains very beautifully. He says that there are many varieties of shrutis. Some shrutis, some scriptures establish the path of devotion to Bhagavan, whereas other scriptures establish the path of jnana and karma. So those scriptures, they describe the activities of yajna and so forth, and they sanction the varieties of material enjoyment available in the heavenly planets. So those who are practicing bhakti, they will never blaspheme the scriptures that promote the path of bhakti, because they have unflinching conviction in the words of the scriptures which glorify bhakti. And such faith is the first step on the path of bhakti. But there is a chance that those who are practicing bhakti may blaspheme those shrutis that promote the path of karma and jnana. They may blaspheme those shrutis that glorify devatas, or they may blaspheme the devatas who are limbs of Krishna. So these practitioners of bhakti, having understood that the goals of going to heaven and attaining liberation, they are insignificant, they may become angry when they see that certain scriptures which propound the path of karma and jnana, they may actually criticize the scriptures. Oh, these scriptures are not speaking about bhakti. So these scriptures are useless. They should be burned, or they should be destroyed. So these devotees, since they will feel that because these scriptures do not describe bhakti, they consider these scriptures to be bahirmukha, that means averse to bhakti, and therefore they consider these scriptures to be reprehensible. So those who think like this, they commit the fourth offense to the holy name. So why it is an offense? Because these scriptures which propound the path of karma and jnana, they actually make a specific endeavor to bring those who are qualified for karma and jnana, but who are not qualified for bhakti. So they are trying to bring these people who are qualified for karma and jnana to the door of bhakti, to the entrance of the temple of bhakti. So for example, there are people, there are the Jnanakanda scriptures, the scriptures dealing with the path of Jnana Marga, engage those people who are qualified for Jnana in the practice of Jnana. And in this way, they guide them on the path of the bliss of impersonal Brahman. And when those people pursuing the path of Jnana attain the, when these people attain the association of pure devotees, then they become enchanted by the pleasure available in the bhakti rasa. So then they will consider the jnana, path of jnana to be insignificant. And then they will take to bhakti and they become blessed. In the same way, those scriptures which talk about the path of karmakanda, they allure the people, the sense gratifiers who are not qualified for bhakti. They allure these people towards the immediate pleasure available in the heavenly planets, and they engage them in the path of karmakanda, or the sakama karma, in which different fire sacrifices are made. So therefore, in this way, these people, the wayward persons who are engrossed the sense pleasure, are not encouraged to attain the heavenly enjoyment. They will become, suppose if these people who are interested in sense enjoyment, If these people are not encouraged to follow the path of karma kanda to fulfill their desires, then what will happen? They will become opposed to dharma and they will become opposed to their prescribed duty. So therefore, they will become even more undisciplined. So therefore, these scriptures, out of great mercy, these scriptures dealing with karma kanda, they give instruction to such persons to bring them to the path of karma kanda. So therefore, in the course of performing the pious acts, when they are performing these pious activities mentioned in the shastras, karma kanda activities, so then these people will certainly receive the association of some exalted devotee. Then as a result, they will understand that the results of karma kanda are actually a source of misery and they are temporary. And then by the mercy of some devotee, they will actually take up the path of bhakti. So therefore, if you are a practitioner of bhakti marga, if he happens to commit this offense, what offense? Of blaspheming the Vedic literatures which describe the path of karma kanda and jnana kanda, or if they blaspheme the paths of karma kanda and jnana kanda, then such a devotee can be freed from it by the receiving the association of a devotee who explains the true import of the shrutis which deal with the karma kanda and jnana kanda. And by the association of such a devotee, after getting such an understanding, then with the same mouth with which they blasphemed those scriptures, with the same mouth they blasphemed those processes, they must glorify those processes with the same mouth. And then he should repeatedly honor those who engage in karma kanda and jnana kanda under the shelter of those scriptures. And then moreover, he should also loudly chant the holy name. In this way, one can rectify the offense he has committed. So here we see, like for example, as I mentioned, that the Vedavada Rathas, they only consider the Karmakanda Yajnas to be all in all. They don't worship the person Krishna. But those devotees who commit this fourth offense, the holy name, they worship the person Krishna, but they disrespect the limbs of Krishna. The limbs of Krishna are the devatas. The limbs of the Krishna are the all these different karmakanda sacrifice. Because we saw how the karmakanda sacrifice, all the different aspects of the karmakanda sacrifices, they arise from the different limbs of the Supreme Lord. So when you blaspheme these process of karmakanda and jnana kanda, and when you blaspheme these scriptures, then although one is worshipping Krishna, one is disrespecting the limbs of Krishna. So how do we rectify this offense? By the association of a learned devotee, we understand the true import of these scriptures dealing with karma and jnana. And then after understanding this, one must glorify these scriptures. One must repeatedly honor those who engage in karma and jnana under the shelter of the scriptures. And then one should also chant the holy name. In this way, one can absolve of the offense one has committed. So therefore, in the section of Varahade, at the end, Maitreya Rishi speaks a very beautiful verse glorifying about Varahade. Yo Gajendram Jashagrastam Gyayantam Charanambujam Kroshantina Karenuna Krichrato Mochayat Drutam Tam Sukaradhyam Rajubir Ananya Sharanain Rubi Kritagya Kona Seveta Duraradhyam Asadubihi. Maitreya Rishi says that which grateful person would not worship the Supreme Lord who quickly rescued the king of the elephants, Gajendra, from the material world when he was caught by the crocodile. While his wives lamented as he meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord, and who is willingly worshipped by the sincerely surrendered souls while not worshipped by the crooked. He is saying, Tam Sukaradhyam Rujubir Kritagnya Kona Seveta. So which grateful person would not worship the Lord? So that means if a person is not worshipping the Lord, he is not grateful. So Prabhupada says that every living entity must feel grateful for the benedictions offered by the grace of the Lord. Anyone therefore with a simple heart of gratefulness must be Krishna conscious and offer devotional service to the Lord. And those who are actually thieves and rogues do not recognize or acknowledge the benedictions offered to them by the Supreme Lord. And they cannot render him devotional service. Ungrateful persons are those who do not understand how much benefit they are deriving by the arrangement of the Lord. So with this I will end. Today what we discussed how the form of Arahade is the personification of sacrifice. And we discussed about the mindset of the Vedavada Rathas. And we also discussed about the Karmakanda activity and Karmakanda mindset. How the fruitive mindset can be present even in the practice and the propagation of Bhakti Yoga. And we also discussed that the fourth offense, the holy name, from the Madhurya Kadambini. One may, Vedavada Rathas, how they don't worship the person Krishna, but they consider the Karmakanda portion to be all in all. But sometimes the devotees who worship the person Krishna, they may blaspheme the other aspects of the Vedic literature which describe Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. And we discussed the real purpose of those Shrutis is to bring the people who are not qualified for Bhakti, but who are qualified for Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, to bring those people to the entrance of the temple of Bhakti. And how do we rectify that offense? By understanding the true meaning of those scriptures, by hearing from the devotees who comprehend those scriptures, and then with the same mouth we blaspheme, we glorify those scriptures, and we also respect those who follow those paths of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, and also by chanting of the holy names we can rectify this offense. Hare Krishna.
So I'll stop here. Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for a beautiful class and summarizing, you know, many aspects which are complex to understand. And you have summarized nicely, Prabhu. Prabhuji, I have one question, Prabhu.
Yes,
Prabhu. When we talk about Triyuga, right? Triyuga means the Leela Avataras of the Lord only, right, Prabhu? So, but we specifically specify these three colors, Prabhu, white, red, and black. Like, many Leela Avataras, right, Prabhu, in each Yuga. So, why do we specify this white, red, and black, Prabhu?
See, in any avatara, the Lord appears. Whatever activities he performs is a leela. There is a Yuga avatara, Manvantara avatara, Shaktyavesha avatara, all his activities are leela. But Leela avataras are a separate category of avataras. So those Leela avataras, they have the specific forms. Asan, Varna, Trayohyasya, Shukle, Krishne. So your question is why these Leela avataras have the specific colors, you are asking?
Yeah, only we say white, red, and in each yuga, we specify white, red, and black, Prabhu. There could be many avataras have appeared, right, Prabhu, in each yuga.
No, many avataras appear. Say, in each yuga, there's a yuga avatara, manvantara avatara appears once in manvantara. There may be other avataras in that yuga. But those, I think the four colors refer to the leela avataras in the particular yuga. So the Lord assumes a particular, when he appears as a Leela avatara, he takes a particular color. So Shukle refers to the Leela avatara in the Satya Yuga, I think, forget the name. And then in Rakta Varana, he appears in the Treta Yuga. in the Krishna Varana, as Krishna, he appears in Dwapar Yuga. And in Pita Varana, he appears in Kali Yuga as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam. So, Anita Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanavad Pranam. It's a very nice class, Prabhuji, about how the devotee should not blaspheme the scriptures. So, you told a wonderful interpretation you gave for the devotees and the Vedic Vadis also who do not surrender to Krishna. So, Prabhuji, my question is, so initially you were saying about the Tri Yuga, right? So I don't know, I missed something over there. So can you just repeat it, Prabhuji? And also lastly, you told something about Gajendra prayers or something you told. So I didn't get that, Prabhuji. Can you explain it?
See, Tri Yuga, I gave three meanings to that word Tri Yuga. The word Tri Yuga comes in the today's verse, the 35th verse. So the Lord is called a Tri Yugaya because he appears only in three yugas. But what about Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga also Lord appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now because in Kali Yuga he appears in a covered form, in the form of a devotee, in the mood of a devotee. So therefore he is called as Tri Yugaya. This is one reason why he is called a Tri Yugaya. Second reason is that the Lord is called as Tri Yugaya because in Kali Yuga, he does not appear as a Leelavatara. Only in the other three Yugas, he appears as a Leelavatara. So in Kali Yuga, if you see, Buddha appears. Buddha is a Shaktyaveshavatara. And Kalki appears. I think Kalki is classified as a Leelavatara, sometimes as a Shaktyaveshavatara. In Kali Yuga, the Lord appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Yuga Avatara. So in Kali Yuga, the Lord does not appear as a Leela Avatara. Only in the other three Yugas, he appears as a Leela Avatara. So therefore, the Lord is called as Tri Yugaya. And then another reason why he is called as Tri Yugaya is that Tri Yugaya means that Lord who has three pairs of qualities. Tri Yugaya means the Lord who has three pairs of qualities. Three pair means what? 3 × 2 = 6. That means the Lord who has six opulences. So Tri Yugaya means the Lord who has six opulences. The form of the Lord who has six opulences. And then another meaning of the word Tri Yugaya means, Tri Yugaya is that here Varaha Deva is called as the personification of the yaks. And Varaha Deva is called by the word Tri Yugaya. So that means it shows that the yajnas were not present only in three yugas. The yajnas, the fire sacrifices was not present in the first yuga, Satya Yuga. The yajnas were inaugurated in the Treta Yuga by Pururava. I gave a quotation from the 9th canto. In the Pururava chapter, if you see the last chapter in the 9th canto, in the Pururava chapter, last verse of that Pururava chapter in the 9th canto, the last verse says that Pururava inaugurated the fire sacrifice in the Treta Yuga. Then because the fire sacrifice is present only in Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga, therefore Varaha Deva is called as Tri Yugaya. Because Varaha Deva is the personification of the fire sacrifice and the fire sacrifice was inaugurated only in the Treta Yuga. It is present only in three Yugas. Therefore he is called as Tri Yugaya. These are the different reasons why the Lord is called as Tri Yugaya. Is it clear?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So one thing in this third reason, you gave us three pairs of qualities, which is six opulences, you told, right? So yes, three pairs of qualities in the sense, all the wealth, renunciation, that's what you meant, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Prabhuji. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And the last one, lastly, you told about Gajendra, right?
So Gajendra, actually this verse is like comes at the end of the Varaha Deva episode, 3.19.35-36. So there, Maitreya Rishi, after describing the whole episode of Varaha Deva, he says that which grateful person would not worship the Lord? He doesn't specifically mention Varahadev here, but he says that which grateful person would not worship the Lord who quickly rescued the king of the elephants, Gajendra, from the material world when he meditated on the lotus feet of the Lord. So I just
okay.
I just quoted that verse.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna devotees, if anybody has any questions or comments, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes,
ma'am. Thank you for today's class. Prabhuji, regarding you spoke about the Karma Kand. People, even Prabhupada, he speaks in Bhagavad Gita 3.26 so as to not to disrupt the minds of the ignorant people attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duty. A learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness.
Yes. Yeah, thank you much for sharing this.
Thank you.
Karmakanda mentions Karmakanda path also elevate a person, elevates a person gradually. Yeah, thank you for
Hare
sharing.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you were saying about Yashoda, Yashoda Maya, like you were saying Varahadev and lifted the earth, he was also, his beauty also increased. Then immediately you told something about Yashoda Maya. So
I said that just like Mother Earth increased the beauty of Varahadev. When the clouds are there on the top of the mountain, the clouds increase the beauty of the mountain. Similarly, earth increased the beauty of Varahadev. So I said that a devotee should increase the beauty, the glory and the fame of the Lord. Just like Mother Earth increased the beauty of Varahadev. And Yashoda, one of the meaning of the word Yashoda means one who increased the fame of Krishna, or one who made Krishna famous. That is one meaning of the word Yashoda. Actually, it's all famous. But still, devotees, they increase the fame of Krishna even more by glorifying Krishna. Yashoda increased the fame of Krishna. That is the meaning of the word Yashoda. Yasha. Yasha means fame. The one who made Krishna famous.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I have one question, Prabhu. This one, we were recently reading Adi Leela. It says, Shankaracharya, who is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, is faultless because he is servant carrying out the orders of Lord. But those who follow his Mayavadi philosophy are doomed. They will lose all their advancement in spiritual life. Right? So now, it's also like how to balance this one, Prabhu. Like Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, but we have to blaspheme the Mayavadis, or we have to, you know, doom their philosophy, so that because it is wrong, right? So we are. Do we glorify Shankaracharya or do we not glorify him?
Yeah, no. Shankaracharya is faultless. Acharya nahi dosha. There's a direct verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is selling to Prakashananda Saraswati. There is no fault in Shankaracharya. But he says how the, he points out the, he says that the explanation given by Shankaracharya in Charitamrita Bhashya, that is like a cloud which is covering the real meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. So when we say we have to defeat the Mayavad philosophy, like we have to follow the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we see both these episodes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dealing with Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. One thing we find is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with them with great respect. With great respect, he dealt with them, and then he defeated their philosophy. So therefore, sometimes we may say Mayavad philosophy is wrong, but we fail to follow the culture of respect while dealing with them, because many of them, they are very strict followers of the Vedic culture, Vedic rituals. But only the philosophy has to be debated. We should respect them for their culture. But in the name of the culture, we should not compromise the philosophy. And in the name of philosophy, and let us not fail to respect their culture. So therefore, we should respect them for the culture, but discuss with them on philosophy. So we have to see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquered Prakashananda Saraswati by his beauty, by his humility, and by his philosophical discussion. First thing, Mahaprabhu sat at the feet where people would wash their feet. So by that, he attracted them by his humility. And then there was an effulgence around his actual body. So he attracted them by his beauty, by the Brahman effulgence around him. And then Prakashananda Saraswati, that opened up Prakashananda Saraswati's heart. And then Mahaprabhu discussed with them philosophically. Sarvam Bhattacharya also, if you see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing Sarvam Bhattacharya for 7 days and seven nights. 7 days he heard. I don't know whether he heard a night, but 7 days he heard. So first he actually he presented himself as a student, submissively he heard. But because he had a very strong faith, his nishtha, his faith will not be shaken. Because sometimes when we don't have a strong faith, our faith can be shaken if we give a submissive oral reception. But Mahaprabhu, again with Sarvam Bhattacharya, he actually, by his submissiveness and humility for hearing for 7 days, he opened the hearts of Sarvam Bhattacharya. And then when his heart became opened, then he discussed the philosophy with him. Therefore, this is what we can learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he actually dealt with the followers of Shankaracharya.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Very nice answer. Easy to understand, Prabhu. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any comments or questions, otherwise we can end the call here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, I have a question. Lord Buddha also incarnated in Kali Yuga. So do we consider his color or form or something like that?
Color, form, I don't remember. Sometimes, maybe this way. Bhagavatam describes the Buddha incarnation, how he appeared when the Vedic fire sacrifices were used for killing the animals indiscriminately. That time he appeared to stop those fire sacrifices out of compassion towards those brahmanas and also out of compassion towards those animals who were being killed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the room for that, reading his form and color.
Yeah. So what is he called, Prabhu? Means what kind of incarnation?
Called a Shaktiyavesh avatar.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a living entity who appears as Buddha, sometimes the Lord himself may appear. Shaktiyavesh avatar.
It's different yugas, yuga cycle. He's different like that.
Sometimes a living entity may appear as Buddha, sometimes the Lord himself may appear, but he comes under the category of Shaktiyavesh avatar.
Yeah. Thank you.
Like his Shakti, he actually bewildered, or he preached atheism. Mm-hmm. That means he preached atheism, means reject the Vedas. But for a purpose, sometimes it's like for an emergency, for people to stop the indiscriminate animal sacrifices, he preached atheism by telling them to reject the Vedas. And then later Shankaracharya came and brought the people within the Vedic fold. So Shankaracharya's, he has an immense contribution. Shankaracharya brought the people within the Vedic fold. And Shankaracharya also spoke the Buddhism in an indirect way, mm-hmm. but by quoting the Vedic authority. So because it has to be a gradual, all the acharyas, the different acharyas, they are like, suppose there is a relay race. If you say in the relay race, a group of say five people take part. The first person goes, he runs for some time and then he gives, passes on to the next person. And then he goes, runs for some time and then he passes on to the next person. In that way, the group of five people, they ultimately reach the target. The different acharyas, they are like the different members in the relay race. So Buddha appeared to stop the fire sacrifices and he told them to reject the Vedas. He was the first person in the relay race. And then the Shankaracharya came and then he appeared. He brought the people within the Vedic fold. But he couldn't do the complete task. He had to speak something which is, appears like Buddhism but also give the Vedic authority. So he spoke the, he brought back the Vedic authority and then he established the Panchopasana worship, worship of the Surya, worship of the Ganapati, worship of Durga, worship of Shiva and Vishnu. In that way, it's a great contribution of Shankaracharya by bringing people within the Vedic fold. I went to Kashmir 2 months back and there also there's a temple established by Lord Shankaracharya, the temple of Lord Shiva in Kashmir. Very beautiful temple on the top of a hill. So Shankaracharya's contribution is immense. But he was the second person in the relay race. And then came the Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya. And they tried to defeat the philosophy of Shankaracharya and they established their Siddhantas, Vishishtadvaita and Shuddhadvaita. And then the final person in the relay race is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually established the, who gave the Achintya Beda Abheda Tattva, the most complete understanding of the Vedic scriptures in the form of the Achintya Beda Abheda Tattva. The living entity is qualitatively one with the Lord, at the same time quantitatively he is different from the Lord. This inconceivable oneness and difference. So this way these acharyas, they are like part of our overall plan. So but sometimes people who don't understand the overall plan, sometimes say followers of Shankaracharya Prabhupada says that they may become, they may be stubborn about the Shankaracharya. The end of his life he said that Bhajagovindam, 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 Moodamate. Just like give up all these world jugglery, just worship Lord Govinda. This is the highest method of Shankaracharya told. But the followers of Shankaracharya, sometimes they can become stubborn about the same conclusions or interpretations he gave in the Vedanta Sutra. And they will try to follow the Advaitavad philosophy, which Prabhupada condemns in his purports. So, but again, as I mentioned, we can unite with the Shankaracharya's followers on the platform of Varnashram Dharma, on the platform of culture and Varnashram Dharma, we can unite with them. And when there is a need for philosophy, we can discuss philosophy by following the principles of culture and respect and etiquettes. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Induleka Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam. Thank you so much for a very beautiful class, Prabhuji. I did have a question, Prabhu. You were explaining how, although we are in the bhakti process, there are many situations when we follow the karma kanda and you know we accept fees like for teaching courses. And we see that in many places also. So my question is, how can we, I mean, it's not always possible to avoid that because they also would have to sustain the environment, correct, the campus. So, what is a good balance, Prabhuji?
Yeah. Actually, your point is valid. Yeah, there are definitely definite practical considerations. So, many times we don't have the capacity to, especially certain courses, the sustain arrangement, prasadam fees, and these things are required. But at the same time, like I was telling about online courses, there's no prasadam or hall charges or accommodation. And there we can just keep it, pay as you like. Sometimes one may think, one of the things in Kali Yuga is that unless people pay something, they don't take it seriously. Prabhupada was giving a program in somewhere in America. And they had charged some fee of $4, $5 per program in some hall. And Prabhupada said that, if people don't pay something, they don't take it seriously. We can have charges like that Prabhupada told. That aspect is also there, but also it's a Shastric principle, and also Prabhupada has given different quotes strictly about say professional Bhagavatam reciters making Bhagavatam as a business, and there are many Shastric quotes about making Shastric education as a business or something like that. Because if you see in any scripture it will talk about the adhikari for the book. Any Vedic scripture will talk about the adhikari for the book. Adhikari is the qualification for that knowledge. But you can name any scripture. Is there any one scripture in the Vedas, the Sanatan Dharma, which tells the adhikari as somebody who has paid this much amount of money? Whether it is Gita or Bhagavatam or Vedanta Sutra, Vyakarana or Nyaya or Mimamsa. Is there any scripture where it is mentioned adhikari, somebody who has paid this much amount? We don't find that. So, of course, at the same time, I understand the Kali Yuga, people take it seriously when they pay something. So, therefore, in order to make the people take seriously, we can charge something. Or we can have a minimal charge when there is there are certain courses with say whether arrangements need to be done, and there are people who sustain by those courses, because previously when the Varnashram system was prominent, those who teach the Vedic knowledge, the Brahmanas, would be supported by the society. But currently the society is very far away, so there is also I cannot impose that, okay, those who are teaching by charging money, they are all inferior. I wouldn't want to criticize them. Because the society, currently the Varnashram system is not there. They may be sustaining themselves by that, at least by that occupation. So that your point is valid. But at the same time, sometimes in the name of justification, we can actually, there could be a, we may be sometimes using the education for other purposes. Actually, that risk is always there. And time and again, sometimes we observe that. And especially online courses, we can keep it free, and then we can say that pay as you like. Because by that, what we are giving is that you are giving an experience to the people of being a recipient of selfless service. Like when you see in this world, right from the birth of a person, in every aspect of our life, we pay something to get. Right from, say, the childbirth, and right from the, say, KG thing in the school. There are schools in Bombay where yearly fees is 1 lakh, 2 lakh, like that. Even such pre-education they pay. So when you are paying everything for everything in your life, when you are not a recipient of some selfless service, then when that person grows up, then he will never get the idea that I have to do something selflessly without expecting anything in return, because he has never experienced something being a recipient of selfless service in his life. So, but when we are at least giving the Shastric education, especially I would say from the temple point of view. Say some individuals were sustaining by certain courses education. I don't want to condemn them. As I said, they will be maintaining them. There will be different considerations. But from the point of view, the temple or organization, if they can make the education as a priority and not used as a tool for, say, fundraising, then what we are doing is that we are giving the people an experience of being a selfless service. And when they receive that, these people, they put their heart and soul in educating this, giving this knowledge. And then they didn't charge anything, and they are just saying that you pay as you like, whatever. So even if they are not able to pay, or even if they pay very little, even if they are not able to pay at that time, that seed of selfless service is sown in their heart. And they will do something selfless sometime in the future. May not be to this temple, but it may be in some society or in their community. So what you are creating the legacy of selfless service. And we may not see the effect of this selfless service immediately. I was suggesting this point to some devotees 2 years back in some online course. Why don't you just keep it pay as you like? And one devotee said that we kept one course like that. Some 150 people joined and registered for the course. And after the course, we said that whatever you may want, you can contribute. And then the devotee organizers, we said hardly very few people contributed. So then I said, so therefore we are not keeping it pay as you like. But I told that, I was thinking later, I said, like when you are growing a tree, when you sow a seed, and you suppose you water the seed for 3 days, can you expect after the third day I should get the mango? No, that is how we are thinking that, oh, I gave this 3-day course for free, and so I should get the result of this course after the 3 days. So it is a completely odd, it's unnatural expectation. So when you are sowing the seed of a tree, suppose a mango tree, first of all, the fruits will come after many years. And secondly, the fruits are not there for you to enjoy. The fruits are there for the other people to enjoy, next generation. That is how you sow the seed, you sow the tree. So similarly, education is also like sowing the seed. When we do something selfless in education, and that person who has received that seed, he will do something selfless in some part of a society, some part of the world. And that those fruits are not there for us to actually expect to enjoy. And they will be somebody else will be the recipients. In this way, we actually we carry on the we create the legacy of selflessness. And it's basically when we talk about the spiritual organizations. It's not that they should use the education as a tool for other projects. Rather, the other projects should facilitate the education. That is how I believe. Suppose like temple construction requires a big funds. But education is nothing but constructing temple in the hearts of the people. That is also temple construction. For that, we will not actually commercialize it. And there are many, many Shastri quotes about how the keeping the education actually free. Those who teach the Shastra for money and those who learn the Shastra by paying money, both are actually criticizing the Shastra. But again, I want to say that, as I mentioned, there could be certain exceptions who would be just sustaining their lives by educational courses because the current society, Varnashram is very, way away from the Varnashram society where the Brahmanas are not maintained. So I don't want to criticize them or something. That's all right. But at least as from the point of view of the temples and organizations, when we keep the education as a priority, it will be good. And even if we suppose, the last way I would say that Suppose when we say that only when people pay, they take the course seriously. Even then, we can follow this principle of not charging for the education. How we can follow? We can say that, okay, this course, we charge this much amount of money. And if you attend the course, say 90% of the course, something like that, we will return the entire money at the end of the course. And those who attend less than that, we return say 50% of the money, and 50% will go to this activity. So like that, we can actually, even then we can, this is something in between thing where we make the people serious by making them pay. At the same time, we are not completely selling education. And then after that, at the end of the course, when they voluntarily pay something, they get the credit for giving, they get the credit for giving, credit of giving, say, dakshina to the teacher. And the teacher gets the credit of giving the knowledge selflessly. So both of them advance actually. But instead of that, the teacher also sells the knowledge and the student also takes the knowledge by paying. Both are compromising the principle. So this is how actually I'm just thinking. I don't know whether it's...
That's a brilliant explanation, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. You gave us common ground. Yeah, many times we do have some courses where we require participants to register also. And this is a free forum. We do not charge for anything. So... but then we see that, okay, maybe 150 participants, they register, but of that, 20 or 30 people only attend. So, yeah, you have kind of balanced it out. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful answer, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I really like the idea of, you know, taking the money and giving them back. As goal that we are asking them to give the money is that they have to listen what we are saying. Mm. They have to get the Krishna consciousness. Yes. That is our actual goal, right?
Yes, so yes.
And also they say that is why we are asking, like, if they give money, maybe they will come. But if you put very minimum also, they will not show interest. We ask the correct money and then we'll give them back. And that way they will definitely come to our class. Very, very nice, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful idea.
We should keep this thing. There will be some people who may not be able to afford, who may be having certain financial this thing. We should keep something. Those who have financial difficulty, please write. So that, suppose some people, they don't have the money to pay even for certain amount, although it will be returned at the end of the course. So we can give some room for them also. There could be, that way, we are actually, because Krishna consciousness is not meant only for elite people. It is meant for everyone, actually. So some people may be financially struggling, actually. So, should keep that open.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Sure, Prabhuji. That's very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can we end the class here, Prabhu?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for your valuable association and time. Look forward to your further association, Prabhu. वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो
वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः
अन्तरा श्रीमद्भागवतम्
जय
ग्रेस राधिका वल्लभ प्रभु की जय
थैंक यू सो मच